Today on Real Radio.
It not only speaks, number one, of his power to get us through all of the future troubles, but to get us through our moment of death into heaven, as I mentioned a moment ago.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. There's a paragraph in the first chapter where Paul reveals that he and some fellow believers had experienced some earlier afflictions that were nearly unbearable. But then he goes on to say that all those troubles only caused them to rely on God alone to be delivered from them. It's one of the many scriptural lessons on how our Lord uses afflictions to bring about glory for Him and growth for us. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called God's Plan in Our Troubles.
For the weapons of our warfare, Christian, are not carnal, of this world, fleshy. That means they're not nuclear, they're not neutron bombs, they're not swords, they're not tanks, they're not F-22s. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You can set off a nuclear bomb and it doesn't affect the spiritual kingdom at all. Isn't that a weird thought? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Church, listen, God redevelops us when we come to know Him. God reconstructs us as Christians, and He battle hardens us. I'm going to give you a little montage of verses. Write them down. You're going to need them in life. I love them. You've had them before, but we need them again. Joshua chapter 1. They're all in chapter 1. It's great stuff. Man, this is great. Joshua 1. Now, Joshua was a general. He was a warrior. You think, well, what does he need help for? The guy's he was the general of the Israeli army. And he takes Moses' place. Who would want that spot? Honestly, would you have taken that? God says to you, I'm going to promote you. Oh, yeah, what am I going to do? You're going to replace Moses. I don't want that job. Can you imagine inheriting 3 million whining, crying, grumbling people? Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No man, God says to him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And all God's people said, amen. Isn't that good news? Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Christian, take those verses and make them your own. We are not to tremble anymore. Oh, the nation's falling apart. I understand that. I know that. My big concern is, God, will you hear our prayer, or is this the judgment of God? But will we not join with Abraham and say, regardless, shall not the God of all the earth do right? We will not be timid. Intimidation's a sin. And Paul says something profound, church. Never forget it. The reason why we gave up even on living, God used it to bring us to this point. Look, that we should not trust in ourselves. After studying this, I've come to this conclusion. I have no idea what he's talking about. I'm not being funny or trying to be cute. I don't get it. I've read it. I studied it. I've not been to this point of my life yet. It's coming, I'm sure. He is saying, I've reached a point, Paul the Apostle, in my life where in all of the things I went through, I had to go through them to come to this conclusion. I ain't got no strength. I can't save myself. I can't do ministry. I can't preach. I can't live the Christian life one more step without trusting in God. I'm convicted. You should be convicted on how much you and I lean upon our human resources. And Paul says, I'm done with it. Life's hardships are teaching us not to trust in ourselves. What are you going through? It's to teach you and I to not trust in ourselves. Difficulty causes us to see God's faithfulness and power in times of trauma. And when all else fails, my friends, listen, dear friends, listen, all else will fail. There's the Lord. In Revelation 21, verse 4, the Bible says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is where we're going. This is our inheritance. Is your 401k crashing? Is your retirement vaporizing? Hey, here's some retirement. I like the Rev 21-4 plan. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Does that sound nice to you? That's our retirement. The next thing we see in verse 10 is this. He wants us to be courageous because, listen, courageous in the face of past fears. We're going to go through this quickly. Mark it down. Past fears. It says here, who delivered us from so great of death. Past fears. Number one, Paul is referring to having been delivered from a life-threatening moment. It also means from a lost life of not knowing Christ. He delivered us, past tense. Think about all your past fears, all your past sin, all your past failures, all your past shortcomings, whatever you want to call them. The Bible says that we can be courageous because he's delivered us from so great a death. Paul is saying, man, we came out of this ministry effort alive, and for that we're grateful. The word here, delivered, circle it please in verse 10. Delivered us from so great a death, the word means, and it's going to mean the same thing all the way through. It means to pluck up out of the current. The word implies a vortex, to be rescued out of a vortex of water pulling you down. We sang the song, and by the way, there was no discussion between this message and the worship ministry this morning. There was a portion of the song where we sang that he rescues us. This word right here, to deliver, is where we get the word to be rescued at sea, to be plucked from the turbulent water. From so great, a dangerous, extreme, deadly situation. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but listen, will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, i.e. ministry, if I live or die, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What a great declaration. Paul had such a grip of understanding heaven is real, that if I live, it's for heaven, and if I die, it's unto heaven I go. I'm living for heaven. Church, are you a Christian? Then you're living for heaven. And when, well, what happens when I'm done living? To heaven we go. Makes you kind of want to march. To heaven we go. When the saints go marching in. Wow. Thirdly, under this, courageous in the face of current pressures. Not only past fears, look at verse 10, and does deliver us. Current pressures, God will deliver you. This implies that he is. The word means now. He's delivering us. You say, Pastor, I don't feel it. I feel like my hope has been abandoned. Hang in there. God is delivering you. He's in the work right now. I don't see it. I don't feel it. That's called, listen, that's why we're called to have faith. Hang in there. Don't give up. I talked to a man today. I don't want to digress. No, did I say today? I did not talk to a man today. I talked to a man on Friday who, I'm not going to give you his name, he's a government leader in this state. And in 2008, all of his life's investments crashed on that day. He didn't know what to tell his family. He didn't know what to tell his wife. And he fell so deep into despondency that the only thing that came to his mind was that he had a very large life insurance plan. And so he wrote his family a note, and he got in his car, and he was driving to a location to kill himself. And he said that while he was driving, he got stuck in traffic, he got bored, and turned on the news. and it was some news channel, wasn't even a Christian program, and some non-Christian guy said, well, in light of all these catastrophes that are happening and the collapse of Wall Street and all this stuff, I don't know what to say except, man, whatever you do, you know, I just want to warn people, don't go kill yourself for anything. And he was en route to kill himself. And he thought for a moment, well, maybe there is some hope. That's weird. And he wound up calling somebody, and that person led that guy to Christ on the same day that he had chosen to kill himself. And now that man is in the halls of power in California, loving Jesus and trying to make a difference because he's full of hope. That is an awesome thing. A current pressure doesn't mean it's over. A current pressure means the end is in sight. God is on the move. And we need to remember that. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. What an awesome thing. Fourthly, under this second point, courageous in the face of future ills, past fears, current pressures. Verse 10 also teaches us future ills. In whom we trust that he will still deliver us. This is the assurance that you and I have. It not only speaks, number one, of his power to get us through all of the future troubles, but to get us through our moment of death into heaven, as I mentioned a moment ago. Listen, it's been a long time since I gave you this verse. Maybe some of you are new to the church and you've not heard it recently. You can't do better than this. All of this message, you could say this morning, is based on one verse, and it's not even in the New Testament. It's in the old. Jeremiah 29, what is it? 11. God says, and he says to you, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Stop telling God what he's thinking. He says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Jude 24, now unto him, God, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's Jude 24. Look at that verse. Now to him who is able. I'm not able. You're not able. Well, Pastor, speak for yourself. I think I'm able. Boy, do you have a lot of bruising coming. Because, you know, if you're a Christian and you think like that, God is going to say, I got a class you need to take. We've all got to come this way. Look in this verse. God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you, what? What is that word? Faultless. On the count of three. Can you guys say faultless? Because I don't think you're here today. Say faultless on the count of three. One, two, three.
Faultless,
without fault, unable to be blamed, guilt-free, not only guilt-free, but whatever was burdening you has been removed from you. You're not walking around now as a Christian and there's some skeletons in your closet. There ain't no closet. Jesus blew it up when he rose from the grave. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know what? The Holy Spirit could have left out the word exceeding, or he could have left out the word joy, and it would have been fine enough. This is a compound expression. Before God's presence, you and I will be there with exceeding, uncontainable joy. What is that going to look like? Okay? Well, I'll tell you what it's going to look like, kind of, sort of. I think we will freak out in a way unexplainable. Why? Look at the next verse, Zephaniah. When's the last time you read Zephaniah? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Look at it on the screen. The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He's not going to think about it. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet, the word is rest. He will bring rest to you with his love. Isn't that sweet? He will rejoice over you with singing. Who's going to sing? Come on, class, let's hear it. Who's going to sing? God's going to sing. You're going to be up there with exceeding joy. And I'm wondering, just wondering, if part of that grand joy will be fueled by us in heaven and God coming up. By the way, I want to read this to you so you don't miss it. Will we have exceeding joy because the word here, rejoice over you with singing? This is what God will do. It means to spin around or about, twirl. The word means to be influenced by emotion. God. Bold rejoicing. Watch this. The word means to cringe the face or to show facial expression. There's other words that God could have used to communicate to you and I how excited he's going to be that you're there. You're going to be going like this. Yes. Awesome. God's going to go like this. Yes. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise me. Praise me. And he's going to, God is going to go, yes. And we might say, God, what are you so excited about? You're here. You say, I think that's very irreverent I didn't write the Bible. God says he's going to spin around and twirl when you're in heaven. No wonder we'll have exceeding joy. Third, we'll end with this very quickly. It's very simple. Verse 11. Our lives are to make a difference. Three ways this challenge comes. You also, he says, helping together in prayer for us. This is a remarkable statement. Number one, write this down. Our lives are to make a difference. And so the question, he's challenging us. Will you work with us, O Corinthians? You also, notice, listen to the compound unity of this. You also helping together prayer for us. You can't get more pregnant a verse for help. And his call is, will you work with us to reach out? Secondly, look at verse 11. Will you reach out with us? Will you work with us? Verse 11. Verse 11 also says, will you reach out with us? You've got the opportunity to help these Muslim kids come to Christ in West Africa. But listen, did you know that that's just a tiny portion? I thank God that many of you take this seriously, the challenge, will you work with us? Will you reach out with us? When you do all the math and the calculations of what this church spends on mission ventures to get the word of God out, if it's across the street, the gospel, or around the world, it is beyond $1 million a year. You are sending to get the gospel out to the ends of the earth in mission outreach. That, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of money where I come from. That's a big deal. And in the end, you're going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you're going to go, what? You sent my gospel to the ends of the earth. You stepped up, you made yourself willing, you got involved, and you joined the ranks of reaching others. That is important. I delight in the day that we stand before God, and you're going to go, when did I do that? And you visited me when I was in prison, and you fed me when I was hungry, Jesus said. And you're going to say, when did I do that? Every penny channeled to the glory of God, to the ministry of God, dedicated to God. In God we trust, so God, it's yours. Do it. And God is saying, then let's do it together. And then we end with this, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf, for the gift granted to us through many. We end in verse 11. Will you care for them with us? Paul is saying, let's reach the world, Corinthians. Psalm 66 says, come in here, all you who fear God, and I will declare what has been done for my soul. For you, O God, have tested us, and you have refined us as silver is refined in the fire. Church, listen. Our troubles and our sufferings is for the furtherance of the gospel. Are you good with that? Because today, if you say, I'm not good with that, then you have a serious relational problem with God. If today you say, Lord, I abandon my life to you, I surrender my life to you, you are God, I am not, you are in heaven, the earth is your footstool, I am your creation, I present myself to you, I surrender to you, God. If you are willing to do that this morning, then your heart is right with God. If you still want to be the controller of your life, you're not right with God. I want to leave you with this picture. In reading for this message, I came across an account where one of the commentators, one of the authors, had said that he witnessed out at sea a man who had been swept off the deck of a boat. And the boat began to turn back around. It was a Navy ship, U.S. Navy. The guy had no life jacket. He was knocked off the deck over the side. And the swimmers got ready to go in the water. And the captain of the boat said, well, hold it, wait. The guy was really yelling and saying, hey, you know, and he was looked fine. And so all reasons, jump in and get him. The water was turbulent, things were rough, whatever the situation was, they had to hold off. And the captain kept saying, hold it, just hold it, wait. The guy starts going under. hold it, wait. Now the rescue boat is surrounding the guy, and they were still held off from rescuing the swimmer or the man overboard. And then they finally got him as he was almost dead floating in the water. He had gone down, as we would say, the third time. They scooped him up, put him in the boat. They got to the carrier, and somebody had said, what did you do that for? What did you do that to him for? And the rescue swimmer said, there was still too much. When we got to him, there was still too much of him left. Listen, doesn't it sound cruel? There was still too much of him left. If we would have gotten in the water, he would have pulled us down with him. The very guys sent to rescue him to save his life, he would have killed both himself and us. We all would have been lost. We had to wait until he was out of strength in and of himself. Then he could be rescued. Okay, get the picture? There may be somebody sitting next to you. They've been treading water all their life. And life situations finally today have brought them to the point where they're nearly unconscious. And Jesus is now saying, today's the day.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called God's Plan in Our Troubles, taken from a paragraph in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's a valuable lesson in how our Lord uses difficult circumstances in the lives of believers for His glory and our growth. God's Plan in Our Troubles. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, for the month of August, Pastor Jack has selected an informative book that takes a look at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember that if you are a believer, you will still face judgment, a different kind, but judgment nonetheless. And that's precisely what this book deals with. It's called Your Eternal Reward by Erwin Lutzer. Your Eternal Reward examines what Scripture says about our eternal reward as believers. We may not lose our entrance to heaven, but what we do in our earthly life will determine our standing in the eternal kingdom. Your Eternal Reward by Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month for Real Radio listeners. It's available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like to call us, our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.